If you're a true believer and a bondservant, you're called to serve Him and not yourself. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when you're not even serving. But God's a good God. If you're truly His, He will bring the storms on us. Some of you come and go as you please. You see your life and your time is more important than others. You're like Jonah and not like Christ.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lindstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today's message is filled with a tremendous amount of intrigue and suspense as the story of Jonah begins to unfold around us.
And Dave, this part of the book is intense. There are interrogations, a life-threatening storm, incredible conversions, and Jonah gets tossed off the ship in order to calm the storm. And in the middle of this, there's an underlying theme, and the theme is God will use whatever means that He chooses to get our attention so that we will repent and obey. Well, it's a wild ride, so buckle up and let's turn together to Jonah chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 4 through 17.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us. They're trying everything. They're crying out to God. They're trying to figure out maybe someone has offended their gods or whatever it is. And God is mad. They recognize it is supernatural. God is laying this upon them. They don't know which God or what God it is yet. But they want to figure it out. So they cast lots. And the lot fell on Jonah. End of 7. God's providence. The lot fell on Jonah. Can you picture the scene? Huge storm, about to perish. Everyone is crying to their gods. Jonah goes asleep. Captain goes down to call on him. In amazement, he is sleeping. How could he be sleeping in the midst of this? Now, probably at the same time, the sailors are trying to figure out who's done this. They're casting lots, and the lot falls on Jonah. So the sailors now begin their inquiry of Jonah in the midst of their panic and fear, and we see a rapid firing of questions at Jonah at this point after the lot falls on him. Verse 8. Then they said to him, tell us now. It's emphatic. Tell us now. You can imagine all these sailors in this ship that's about to go down surrounding Jonah going, tell us now. On whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where did you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Just a side note, you know, Jonah's going to say who he is. He says to them, verse 9, and he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I fear the God who made this. Oh boy, the sailors in the midst of a supernatural storm, they know they're perishing. And Jonah says, this is the God I fear, the one who made the sea and the dry land. Jonah's got correct theology here, but his heart is far from the right place, folks. And as I was going to share earlier, on a side note, have you ever noticed how God doesn't let you blend in with non-believers if you're a true believer? You can't be a secret Christian for long. Often God sovereignly uses the queries of non-believers to reveal what we really believe and who we trust. Jonah was not going to let this out, but they got it out of him. I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Jonah admits it only after being questioned. Now notice the sailor's response, verse 10. Then, this is boom, boom, boom action in the Hebrew language. Then the men became extremely frightened and they said to him, how could you do this? Now, we see an explanation at this point, for the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Obviously, in the midst of the line of questioning, Jonah said in some fashion, I'm fleeing from the Lord. And they say, how could you do this? Maybe God's saying to you, how can you do this? He's called you to serve his body. He's called you to walk in a manner worthy. And you're walking somewhere else. You've escaped where God has called you to serve because it displeases you. How could you do this? Well, the passage here shows us that at times Our discipline does not just affect us, it affects those around us. There is collateral damage from Jonah's sin here, folks. How could you do this? Maybe some of you are not obeying the Lord. You're fleeing the spheres in which God has called you to serve. You're never around church. You're never around the body. And the storms around you are affecting those around you. I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty. I'm saying that if in your heart of hearts you know it's true, then just confess it and say, Lord God, not my will, but thy will be done. Because it's always a blessing to serve the Lord, no matter how hard it is. But good understanding produces favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. It's hard to go the other way. And God's a good God to make it hard, because he loves us. How could you do this? Verse 11, now they realize it's Jonah's fault, basically, because he's fleeing from God, the one who made the seas. Verse 11, so they said to him, what should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. Okay, Mr. Hebrew, running from God, who made the sea, which is about to cause us to perish. What do we do? What's Jonah's answer? Verse 12, and he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Verse 12, then the sea will become calm for you, because I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. He knows. This is amazing, and it gives incredible insight into the mindset of a disobedient servant. I'm struck with the depth of his disobedience, and we are all tempted to do the same, folks, and the consequences. He says, throw me in the sea and it will stop. It's because of me. It's amazing. He doesn't say, I repent and repent to the Lord at that moment and say, turn around. I'm going to Nineveh to obey the Lord. He says, throw me in the sea. It's amazing. He doesn't repent. Pick me up. Throw me in the sea. I'd rather die than obey God the way he wants me to obey. It's really sad. Because I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. He knows. Jonah understood rightly, as maybe some of you do, that he was being disciplined. But he wasn't responding to that discipline. He was still self-centered and self-focused, so unlike God. I'd rather die than obey God, he's basically saying. Later on, we'll see in chapter 4, he's saying, I'd rather die than see the Ninevites be saved because I hate them so much. They're so wicked. The point is, what God called Jonah to do was displeasing. But he had a lack of faith in God, who is a good God. And we need to recognize everything God calls us to do is good. Jonah wanted them judged rather than saved, to the point that he was willing to die. It's really sad. Great unbelief concerning the nature of God. And maybe some of you were there. But God's a good God. He wants to convict us so that we will be corrected, that we would be trained in righteousness and walk in a manner worthy. Maybe some of us, maybe some of you, in a different way, are displeased at what God has called you to do in his word. You're displeased. If you're a true believer and a bondservant, you're called to serve him and not yourself. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when you're not even serving. But God's a good God. If you're truly his, he will bring the storms on us. Some of you come and go as you please. You see your life and your time is more important than others. You're like Jonah and not like Christ. We need to see our time is not our own. We need to serve the Lord. We need to recognize that it is his will we should desire to do rather than our own. I'll give you an example. Some of you I barely see now. Sometimes there's extenuating circumstances. You know in your heart if what I'm saying is valid to you or not. Some of you might identify with this church. Say, I go to VBF. If someone were to ask you, what church do you go to? I go to Vancouver Bible Fellowship. But if someone were to ask you, what church do you serve at? What would you say? Brothers and sisters, God wants us to be convicted so that we can be restored. Regardless of this church, we need to be in a godly fellowship, being built up, serving one another, and then going into the world. We need to be doing that. Otherwise, the Lord might as well take us home. So Jonah recognizes it's his fault, says, basically, kill me. He certainly understood it was sin to do so, obviously. It's my fault. But now look at this. He's actually calling upon other people to do the dirty work. He's not willing to throw himself over, because he knows that's a sin. He knows he shouldn't take his own life. But he's saying, you guys pick me up and throw me into the sea. Still selfish. How do these pagans respond? We see concern. Opposite of Jonah. Verse 13, however, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming ever stormier against them. Instead of throwing him over, they tried to save everybody. In an ironic fashion, these pagans were more concerned about life than God's servant, Jonah. Some of you may find yourselves acting worse than those who do not know God because you're in sin. And Jonah was doing that. Hebrews chapter 3, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day. That means you got to be together. As long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Jonah's hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. God loves him, but he's disciplining him. God loves us. If you're truly his, he'll discipline you and I too. So we see the response of the pagan sailors looking to their false gods. Even in the midst of their pagan viewpoints, they have concern for life, Jonah's life. But in contrast, we see Jonah, the God-fearer, totally unconcerned, asleep. He could care less about everybody else. When he's confronted, he doesn't repent, but he calls upon them to do his dirty work. Jonah's selfish. Israel was selfish. They were just the same way. And maybe we are like that. Is your ship going down because of sin? Are you bringing others down with you? Do you care? Or are you like Jonah? Some of you are bringing your families down while you're disobedience. Do you care? Just cry out and repent. God's a good God. He's allowing it to be hard to restore you because he loves you. Okay, at this point, verses 14 to 17, we see two different responses from God now at this point. We saw two different responses earlier from the people on the ship and then Jonah. Now two different responses from God. He brings salvation to the sailors and he continues to discipline Jonah. Verse 14. Then they called upon the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for thou, O Lord, hast done as thou hast pleased." This is truly amazing. A few minutes ago, they were each calling on their own pagan gods. They are given some revelation from a disobedient prophet concerning the true God, and they believe. And they called out on the Lord, Yahweh, and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord." After trying to save Jonah, what did they do? Did they cry out to each one's God as they did earlier? No. They called out on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray." This is an amazing prayer as we see. First of all, they cry out to the Lord. Secondly, they are aware that God is disciplining Jonah. "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on the account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for thou hast done as thou hast pleased." Notice they're concerned that God might lay Jonah's death on their account. They're concerned about that. All they know about God is from this Jonah guy now. They're hearing the truth, and this Jonah guy is saying, "Throw me over," and they're concerned now. Their hearts are being changed, and they're crying out, "Don't let this innocent blood be put on us." And then we see an amazing portion of the prayer at the end. They believe God's in control, the entire thing. End of 14. "For thou, O Lord, hast done as thou hast pleased." Oh, if we would just really believe that. It would really change the way we think. Thou hast done, O Lord, what thou hast pleased. This is true lordship salvation. They fear the Lord. They recognize his authority over all. Let me share, nothing has changed in the New Testament. We believe in Christ Jesus as Lord. Romans chapter 10. But what does it say, verse 8? "The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, thou, O Lord, has done as you pleased, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, but with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Some of you are in a spiritually treacherous situation. Now God is bringing these two things together. These sailors are about to die and they realize that and they cry out on the true living God. They were on the road to judgment, these sailors, and God brought truth concerning Christ. They believed it concerning Christ Jesus, the Lord, and they declared that. 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul says to the critics about them not getting many converts, even if our gospel's veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Nothing's changed. People are saying, well, it must not be the right methods if people are not getting saved. But Paul is saying, even if it's veiled in your eyes, it's failing to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. He's the Lord. You need to recognize that or you'll never be saved. You need to recognize you are not the Lord, that you will stand before the Lord, that He is your creator, that you are accountable to Him. And these sailors became saved when they recognized that Yahweh, the great I Am, the God of the Hebrews, revealed in their word, is the Lord. They were saved. Some of you have a so-called faith in Christ, but in action, He's not Lord in your life. You have a Jesus that you believed in, but He's not the Jesus of Scripture. Jesus is Lord. Cry out to Him as Lord, and you will be saved. The sailors did. These pagans had a divine encounter, were given truth concerning the Lord through a disobedient prophet. They believed it, and we see their prayer of faith in the Lord. Thou hast done, Lord, as You pleased. God does what He pleases. When you come to that reality concerning Christ, God has changed your heart. So the sailors get saved in spite of Jonah. What happens next? So they picked up Jonah, verse 15, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Pretty simple verse to interpret. They picked him up, cast him into the sea, and what happened? The storm is over. Now, at this point, you might think the salvation of the sailors is maybe a foxhole salvation where in difficult circumstances, they cry out to the Lord and then the circumstances are relieved and there's not much talk about Christ. We saw that with this plane that almost crashed in the Hudson River. The first few things that came out, people are talking about the Lord, you know, and then, you know, a few hours go by and it's more so the captain's so great and it's more so all these other things. Was that the case here? Things are calm and they're now kind of saying, wow, we made it. What did they do? Verse 16, the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Notice what they did when the sea stopped. They feared the Lord greatly. This word, yireh, in the Old Testament, fear, speaks of acknowledging God's superiority over man, to recognize His deity, and thus responding in awe, humility, worship, love, and obedience. They feared the Lord. And they sacrificed to Him. They made vows. Folks, these new converts on the boat exhibited an act of worship so opposite to the attitude of Jonah. Jonah was fearing the Lord, not in practice, but theologically. But God has a remedy for those who are disobedient. It's His discipline, which continues here. Verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Folks, God is in control here. The Lord hurled the storm. The Lord appoints a great fish. The term appointed here is an intensive stem. What does that mean? It speaks of appointing or ordaining rather than preparing, as some have said. He just appointed it or ordained it to happen. That's what it means. And many people have made a lot about the term great fish. What does that mean? In the Hebrew, it means great fish. That's all it means. It's a really big fish, a great fish that God ordained to swallow Jonah. And what we know about it was he was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days. And we're going to look at that next week in chapter 2, what went on when he was drowning and then when he went in the whale's belly. God's discipline is continuing of Jonah. The sailors are experiencing peace. They're trusting the Lord. It's at peace. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of you are in the great midst of major storms that are spiritual in nature, and you have no rest because of your sin. But in Christ alone there is rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So then we've seen God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, proclaim against it because of their wickedness. Jonah, because of his attitude towards the Ninevites and what God wants him to do, and a lack of faith concerning the character of God, disobeys him. He turns the opposite direction, trying to go to Tarshish, but the Lord would not allow him to go very far. He sends a great storm. They're about to perish. The pagans call on their gods, try to discern how the calamity has come. In God's sovereign providence, the lot falls on Jonah. He is questioned, and the cat's out of the bag. He is the reason why this is happening. He is running from God. The sailors desperately try to save the ship and Jonah, but things get worse. And then the most wonderful thing happens. The sailors get saved. They cry out to the Lord, recognizing his sovereignty over all. And Jonah's discipline continues, and he is thrown into the sea and swallowed by a whale. This is a true story concerning what happens when believers disobey God. God disciplines them. As I shared, maybe some of you are in the midst of a great storm, and the Lord has thrown it on you. Maybe your world is about to break up, physically, whatever it might be, relationally, financially. For those who don't know Christ, could it be that the Lord is using this to humble you, that you would acknowledge Jesus as Lord? Because that's your problem. You're the Lord, exhibited by your sin and disobedience. And God sent Christ. He took on human flesh. He lived the perfect life. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, and he died. He was in the ground for 3 days and three nights. He rose from the dead. And anyone who cries out to Christ for forgiveness of sins will be saved. What about us believers? Let me ask you and ask myself. Maybe some of the storms in our lives are because of our disobedience. I'm not saying everyone, I'm not going to be Job's comforters, but you need to examine your heart to see if that's the case. It's pretty simple. God's got a lot of commands on how we're to serve him, and if you're not doing it, I would say that's probably the reason why it's coming upon you. Have you ever examined your life in light of the Word of God to see if you're disobeying? Have you become the Lord of your life in your time concerning serving Christ? We should be serving him all the time. If we're his bondservants, our lives are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Some of you might be like Jonah. You're in a terrible storm. You're spiritually asleep. You're not calling on the Lord. People around you are suffering. You're not concerned. How is it that you are sleeping? How is it that you are doing this? Could it be the Lord is responsible for your difficulties? Confess and be restored. And folks, not every servant in Scripture is relayed like Jonah. Jonah is an example of disobedience. And it is written for our instruction, that we might not crave evil things. Confess and be restored. Jonah didn't trust that God's commands were good, so he didn't obey. What about you? Are you trusting and obeying? Good understanding produces favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, you mentioned that the sailors were truly saved. So my question is, why would God choose to use a disobedient prophet to bring salvation to people?
Well, it's really important to remember this key principle, that the power is not in the messenger, it is in the message. You see, God's word is living and active. God's word is alive and powerful. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not the one who shares the gospel. That's why Jonah's preaching and teaching is effective.
It has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with God and his word. Now, in our next broadcast, we're going to continue in this series in Jonah, and we're going to see how we will know that God's discipline is working in our lives. We hope you can join us.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.